Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
In Powerhouse, our focus this morning. Now, we'll be talking about their work with victims of domestic violence. And it's this time of year that we always talk about the Empty Bowl. The 22nd annual Empty Bowl will take place this year. And we will talk about it this morning with Kathy Anderson, the executive director of Empower House. And Kathy Harrigan is here. Kathy, I first met you through the Empty Bowl. You came in and we did a show and we talked about it. So we were coming full circle here. This will be a different Empty Bowl.
It will be a different Empty Bowl. And yes, the first time we met, we were looking through these same microphone stands and everything else.
So everything
is delightful to come on back and see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while since you have been in here for this. The Empty Bowl itself, when the pandemic started and when things started to change, I remember saying to Kathy Anderson, unless things change dramatically, this is going to be much different. And I'm glad to say that it continues.
It does continue. We put our heads together and we said, all right, how can we do this? How do we have to be safe for ourselves and for our community? I think we were exceptionally lucky that we held the 2020 Empty Bowl right before pandemic and lockdown. And, you know, we got through that one. So this one we're going to do as a drive-through event. We will pre-package the bowls. All the bowls are pretty, right? You know, everything is gorgeous. We'll pre-package the bowls with some treats in the bag, a chocolate bar in memory of Doris Buffett, gift certificates from a restaurant so that you can go out and have a cup of soup. And then we will be able to gift that to the people who come and buy a ticket or to our sponsors. And we will hand off in a contactless manner, like if you're picking up your takeout, you'll drive through and we will hand you your bag that you have purchased your ticket for. And hopefully then people will go home and unwrap their bowl with a great big surprise.
Yeah.
And hopefully even take a picture of their bowl and maybe a selfie with themselves and post it. And we'll have a hashtag for them to post that to, so we can have that experience, but at a distance.
I like that. Is this will be on January 31st, the day that if the Empty Bowl were taking place,
well,
like it usually did, it would be on the 31st. This time it's at the Fred Nat Stadium in the parking lot.
They have been so exceptionally gracious to welcome us to the stadium, especially because everything is so uncertain as to, you know, what we can do and how we can do it. So they were really, really good. We'll be there from 11 to 2. But people will have assigned times for pickup so that we won't have long lines.
Okay.
We'll be able to process people quickly. When people buy a ticket, they'll get an email from me that says your pickup time is 11 or 11:15 or whatever it is. And then we'll be able to move people through very, very quickly and safely.
But I'm sure this took some thought about you wanted to do it, but how to do it. And this is a great option.
Yes. Yeah. It did take some talk to figure out how many people we could process. The other thing we'll be doing is for our sponsors, we're actually going to be delivering their packages to them. So if somebody comes and sponsors, we'll kind of put together a party pack for them and go to their office or their home safely, masked up the whole bit, and do a delivery to them of their bowls and treats.
Well, and for this year, the hardest thing for me is always, what bowl do I want? And then after you get it, I usually have some kind of, you know, buyer's remorse of, was this the one I really wanted? Or I wished I'd seen yours. This way, it really is. It's kind of fun. But choice is being made for you.
That's right. That anxiety of, will I pick the right one?
Yeah.
It's gone. And really, all bowls are pretty.
They are.
And we are just so, so lucky. I mean, I do want to give a shout out because we can't do this without the Potters in our Potter community, in this community, and Liberty Town and their support for the event. And so we are just so, so thankful that in this tough year for them as artists, that they're able to come together and do this once again for us so that we can give this gift to Empower House and our community and help our neighbors who are suffering from domestic violence and help the children of those families as well.
But Kathy Anderson, for to see that the the Potter community was able to come through and do this in these times, like Kathy just said. It's a big undertaking that they do this, and for all of them to say we're in is just a great endorsement of their commitment to Empower House.
It's extraordinary. I mean, we obviously, the whole reason we can have an event is that they donate, and you know, times are tough, and so for them to take all of that time now in January, because there's not a lot of time to get those bowls ready. So it's really, they're not having, a bowl-a-rama this year because, with social distancing. And so that certainly will impact the number of bowls. I just feel like every bowl that we receive, as every year, even more so this year, is a personal sacrifice, a sacrifice of somebody's either time as person who might not be a professional potter, or for those who are professional potters, a real investment of their time out of the love for supporting the organization and the work that we do. And so, we really appreciate that.
Well, and Kathy Harrigan, one of the great things about the empty bowl itself is just being able to be together and see so many people.
Right.
You won't be able to do that this year, but you haven't been able to do it for almost the past year anyway. So
that's true. Our previous events, we had an event in August that was entirely virtual, but we were able to put in some videos and people were able to see some faces. And we were able to have our golf tournament, and that had that small window when things were okay and we were outside. So this time we really do hope people will look at the hashtag and post to their social media channels, and we can all watch each other open our bowls and kind of smile and remember the fun times we've had, gathering and eating in community, and look forward to 2022.
Yep. Well, and like you say, this is one of the last events I remember going to, because it was about a month later that this all started. So it is a great event. You can get tickets if you go to empowerhouseva.org.
Yes.
And there's all the information there. You can click it and find out all the information and order your tickets.
Yeah, and in fact, tickets are only available through an online source. We don't have any tickets available at any locations, like at Liberty Town. We don't have tickets there this year because, again, we're trying to minimize people's contact. So you have to go to empowerhouseva.org. But as Ted said, all the information is there to buy an individual ticket, multiple tickets, or to become a sponsor.
But and Kathy Anderson, this is important for this. We talk so much about whether it's restaurants or just helping different businesses and organizations in the community. This is a way now you can help Empower House. This is your chance.
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, I want to talk about the volunteers, but definitely the supporters. Buying a ticket, I think it's like opening a package, a surprise package. It's like Christmas again.
Yeah.
Opening your bowl. That's a lot of fun. But I also think a lot of people, a lot of people, sponsors in particular, are wanting to give to the organization. And they support the Empty Bowl every year. And we have a surprising number, really, of new sponsors. So there's really not a shortage, I would say, of people who want to help. And this is a great way to join in the fun and be a part of a community helping. The Empty Bowl always has been such a community event. Lots of volunteers, lots of people from the community. So this is just, this, even though we're not gathering in person this year, still a lot of people are wanting to join in. And we think that's very exciting, especially with the limited, ability to get together and the recognition. Mm-hmm. But supporting survivors of domestic violence and the mission is something that's calling people, and people are wanting to help during the pandemic. So it's really great to see.
It has been exciting to see. I know with a number of nonprofits in the area and in some museums that have had some programs over the last month or two, and they have raised significant money. So I think even though these are tough times, people are looking for ways to help.
Really, truly. And, it's fun. It's for the sponsors of this event, getting their packaging along with the little additional perks. I mean, they certainly don't match the dollar investment, but being able to say I can support at this level, I think is really important for some folks. Just being able to help. I know Kathy's talked to some of those supporters, so I know she could tell you more So we're very excited about people being interested in the event. And I have to say, I'm so impressed with our volunteer force, Kathy leading the charge, because they really went to the table a number of times on Zoom and tried to figure out really what could be achieved during a pandemic, and really had to change their ideas over and over and then really be able to spell that out. It's taken considerable time to get ready for this event that's sort of a non-event, but they've really made it fun, and we're so excited.
I think I saw it somewhere, and it had to be the write up on the website that said this really is an empty bowl, because you're going to get an empty bowl for real.
You are going to get an empty bowl for real. Yes, there'll be some treats kind of packed inside of it, but yes, you have to fill it yourself. So, you know, dig out that best soup recipe and make some soup for your family, and have a wonderful evening, and, you know, raise a spoon and a cheer for Empower House and the support this community provides.
Kathy Anderson is here. Kathy Harrigan is here, who we just heard from. And we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about volunteers, those volunteers, and more about the empty bowl and the work of Empower House in the community. When we come back, we'll continue to do that on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Empower House, our focus, and the Empty Bowl, January 31st. It is a drive-through event this year at the Fred Nat Stadium parking lot, 11 to 2. And we're going through all the details on that. EmpowerHouseVA.org is where you can get tickets. And the only place this year you can get tickets for the Empty Bowl on the 31st, EmpowerHouseVA.org. Kathy Harrigan is here, and Kathy Anderson. Harrigan has been Kathy, I'll call you the brains behind putting all of this together. But at least you're one of the organizers of this, and just the fact that it can continue. It's different because you get a lot of volunteers, and restaurants have always gotten involved, and that's the great thing about the Empty Bowl. You get your bowl, and then you go and you just keep going back and you try all this soup. That changes this year.
It does change this year. Normally we have so many different cooks as well as restaurants in town, generally more than 24 restaurants in town. And so this year, because we aren't able to work with them in the way we have, where they give us a big kettle of soup, we're going to them and saying, can we partner with you, and will you give us a gift certificate for a bowl of soup? And let us help bring people downtown into your business, you know, so that when they're comfortable to go and get a meal or buy a soup or buy an appetizer or dessert, they'll have a gift certificate that will help them offset the cost of the meal, but they'll bring them into those wonderful businesses that have helped us for so many years through the Empty Bowl.
That is a great idea, because then that's the way you're helping the business.
Right. Again, this is a community event. It has always been a community event, and this is another way of kind of explaining that we give back to the community as well as need the support of the community through this event.
There are going to be so many events when things start to open up before we're all happy to see one another and we can do things. But like you said, you know, with Empty Bowl 2022 will be really a celebration.
It will be. I mean, you mentioned the volunteers as well. Generally, we have about 100 volunteers at the event, in addition to people who are attending the event. We're going to miss them. I mean, these are some people who we only see that one time a year, and particularly working together, because there's something that happens when you get to work together really hard for the day. And so we will miss all of them, because we don't need that many volunteers for a drive-through event, and the governor's executive order kind of restricts the number of people we can have at a gathering anyway.
Yeah.
We're trying to honor all of that. So, volunteers, we miss you. We will see you again.
No, there are some people that are the volunteers, like you say, that I only see them once a year at the Empty Bowl.
And some who have been at every Empty Bowl as a volunteer from the very, very beginning of time. You know, it's an amazing crew.
Kathy Anderson, we've talked about this before, and this was one of the hooks that you got me to start going to the Empty Bowl, because we had done shows on this over the years, way before I ever went. But, you know, you always talked about it was always the week before the Super Bowl, and so you weren't going to miss a game. And it really is a time of gathering. Besides helping Empower House, this year there's not the gathering part, but there is the need to help Empower House. And especially in this time, you and I have talked from the early days of the pandemic of the challenges that your clients face these mm-hmm. days.
Yeah. So we did hook you.
You did.
So
and now I've got all these bowls in my house.
Yeah, once you attended, it was hard to not keep going. So thank you for attending, and thank you for all that you've done over the years to promote the event. And we talked about how, when we could talk about that later, the video that you do every year, the time lapse.
Oh, I'm going to miss that.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And that's where, and it was, it's the time lapse, because I would get there early to set a camera up an hour or so early. And all your volunteers were there and had been there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
To set things up. Kathy Harrigan talks about the volunteers. They are a committed bunch.
A committed bunch that really make it seem like the event is pulled off effortlessly, because everybody is so conscientious and just really makes it for everybody attending. So, you know, we're going to miss that time together. But as you said, helping the organization in a year when we can't do that, there's so much that people can help with. So with the pandemic, you know, like any other organization, for our organization, it meant that folks were socially distanced in their homes. And that was a real recipe for disaster for folks who experienced domestic violence, because having to isolate in the home, there's greater access. There's unlimited time on people's hands, and domestic violence just got worse for those folks. At different times, you know, we've had surges of people coming to us. Overall, over that period of time, we had a 28% increase in our hotline calls. We also did a ton more of sheltering and housing. And so when I talk about that, I'm saying that the nights of shelter, in terms of the people who stayed with us and the length of time that they stayed with us, was a tremendous increase. So we had a 29% increase in our bed nights. We had for housing, we had 18,780 bed nights during an 8-month period starting at the beginning of the pandemic. And that was a 45% increase from the same time period the year before.
Wow.
I mean, so those are just examples. But coming with that more full support is also everybody pivoting to be able to do that in a way that we can do that now. And also the sheltering piece changed some. We had to thin out some at the shelter, but provide alternative shelter to a great degree, an increase in helping people to do that. So that meant our staffing needs were different in terms of being able to go out and support people as folks sheltered in other locations. So, you know, between the supplies to clean the shelter and the equipment needed to help people do some virtual work as well, it's been a ride.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to put it. I can remember in the early days when we would talk, and you would mm-hmm. talk about just the challenges that these mothers and children were facing with schooling, with mm-hmm. like, and just with supplies and the need for that kind of thing. I would guess that the need for supplies continues.
We were so fortunate to partner with so many organizations like the Salvation Army for food and the Community Foundation for additional rent assistance. And Stafford County provided a grant, and we were able to provide some computers to those in housing who otherwise didn't have the ability to do some of the things they needed to do online, including connecting with job applications and, you know, further education. But the kids in our housing program, I mean, that was a big, I don't want to say it was a surprise, but we knew we wanted to really concentrate on supporting them emotionally and otherwise mm-hmm. during this time, because they were isolated and single parent and having come from trauma. So, yeah, as we began doing that, we realized even though you would think that they had their school connections, they weren't reaching out. And part of the problem about reaching out is if you don't have internet or reliable cell, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, they were additionally isolated. So as we realized and found out that they were lacking in these things for their kids, then we were connecting them with the schools and then making sure those things got delivered. So, you know, supply-wise, we do an every other week delivery. And, you know, that can be essentials, which, you know, we're in touch constantly to know what people's needs are, which vary from family to family. But we also have been delivering things to make the lives of those children fun or engaging or more social, including craft projects and games and outdoor games and indoor games, things they can do with their families, check-ins to see, oh, how did that craft project go? Or, you know, what have you been journaling? Or how's it been going with your friends? How's it been going with your family? I mean, they have been connected and made some really strong relationships to help those kids through this time.
Well, and Kathy, the being connected is so important because it would be so easy for them to kind of fall through the cracks.
Yeah, I mean, because they came from trauma, they already have sort of something, you know, pulling them down. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about trauma, resiliency, et cetera. And I think, you know, for these kids, for them to be resilient, being connected when they've left trauma and they're and we're in a pandemic, which is frightening already. Single parent households, they do need outlets. And social is lacking right now, you know, trying to get everybody to have some social. So I think this is a real building block for them, that during this time they have some reliable folks who can support them through all kinds of things.
EmpowerHouseVA.org, the website for information on how you can get involved with EmpowerHouse, and specifically the 22nd annual Empty Bowl, January 31st. It's a drive-through event, 11 to 2 at the Fred Nat Stadium parking lot. Kathy Anderson is here. Kathy Harrigan is here. We're going to take a quick break and continue along this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA, coming up on 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
In Powerhouse, our focus this morning, they work with victims of domestic violence. And the 22nd annual Empty Bowl will take place. It is a drive-through event this year on the 31st of January from 11 to 2 in the parking lot of the Fred Nat Stadium. We're talking about that and other things this morning with Kathy Anderson, the executive director of Empower House, and Kathy Harrigan is here. Kathy has put all of this together for the Empty Bowl, and we're going to jump in and talk a little bit more about that in just a second. Before we get back in there and talking, Kathy Anderson, about Empower House in going through the pandemic. I mean, you spent, I know, in the early days. I remember we talked about the April showers for the shelter was something we talked about right at the beginning. And that really was an opportunity for the community to be able to provide just some of the everyday things that we all need, but you especially needed. And that need continues on and on.
People really embraced it. And I know people wanted to help. And it was hard because a lot of organizations, you know, we just couldn't take some of the things that we had taken in the past as donations. And you really have to scale back during a pandemic because you're not really seeking a lot of interaction. So we really drilled down to those essentials that we needed, you know, the paper towels, the toilet paper, the laundry detergent, the cleaning supplies, the food, you know, just things that we use every day at our shelter. You know, we have on average, it's 25 people to 35 people every day at our shelter, staying at our shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they eat there, they stay there. During the pandemic, they stayed there a lot more. So many more utilities are in use. But people really wanted to help, and we're also stuck at home. And so ordering those online, we had online registries, you know, if some people were picking things up at stores, and then they were bringing them to us. And it's kind of fun because we were taking pictures on social media. So I think a lot of people could see people donating and how fun it was for people to help. And that has carried on. So it went through the summer, and then during the holidays, we were still collecting because, you know, you know, we go through those supplies. So
a lot of them.
A lot of supplies. And it's been great. Right before the pandemic, we added some storage capacity. And that was like, you know, who knew that that would be so essential, because we could store those things and then kind of move them to where they, you know, deploy them. And so, you know, we never ran out of toilet paper, knock on not wood.
Yeah.
And I know it was touch and go. And I know the United Way with Publix, they also helped us with that toilet paper. I just felt like, you know, it was touch and go there for a while, but we made it through. So yeah, the supplies have been really, really helpful. I think we finally took that down off our website. People are still doing those drives for us, and really that's an all year kind of need. And so it's been wonderful. But people helping, tremendous. We, you know, I was talking earlier about the families in our shelter. You know, probably what doesn't occur to people, even those families that we're housing and we have helped them escape from the abuse, and they're in their own, you know, units now, which is really empowering. You know, and there are a lot of children. There's way more children. I think at the height of the pandemic, we had 27 families with 60 kids. That's changed now. We've increased that. And some have dropped out of the program because they're, you know, on their own and can make it on their own. But within those families, people may not realize when you're married or you have children in common, you're going to be interacting with your partner for the rest of that time with children in common. And
yeah,
as a result of that, you know, there are some risky times for people who've experienced domestic violence in a relationship. You know, just because you're out of the relationship, people always ask, well, why don't they just leave? Well, people leave. They leave all the time. And but for some of those people, that domestic violence that they've gotten away from, they don't have a lot of control over it not happening again. And so some of the kids have witnessed it again, even being out of it and on their own. And so when we talk about supporting kids emotionally through a pandemic, it's a lot of things. It's the school transitions. They've been dealing with their siblings, their friends. But it's also that some of them have continued to witness domestic violence. And they, I guess I'm just really grateful that we were able to focus on those kids because they've needed us. And I think to get through those times, they need coping skills. They need to be connected. They need to know that they have outlets where that information and how traumatizing that is, that they don't have to keep that in and bear that alone.
See, those are some of the things we just don't think about. In that aspect of it with the kids. And in thinking, I remember in the early days of the pandemic, in talking to you, and the first time you mentioned to me about one of the hard things about the pandemic, we all were struggling, and then you put it into such a great context of think about what the victims are dealing with now, because now the person who they may have had some kind of a break with the abuser going off to work or going on a business trip or not being around, now they're together all the time, and it put it all into perspective. And I remember thinking, boy, you know, me just thinking about woe is me, I can't do this, I can't do that. That to me was just a really you start thinking about this, and not just like you talk about with the kids. There are a lot of just different aspects to all of this that we don't think about. We just sometimes we take our serene life for granted, and we shouldn't.
Oh gosh, you know, in domestic violence, one of the big tactics to harm somebody, to hurt somebody, and just plays into all the other harm that someone is doing and intends to do, isolating them is already a tactic. And so with the pandemic, they didn't even need to create isolation. You know, they didn't need to do all the things they would normally do to try to isolate their partner. It was just handed to them on a silver platter. So, I mean, it was just a bad, you know, I know people are getting out more, but of course, everybody's encouraged to isolate. There's a lot of people commuting from home, or that's not really commuting. It's, you know, working remotely. So so it's still a prevalent problem, the isolation part.
And that's where what you do has not decreased at all. We talk about the need for supplies, but just the need to be able to be able to do what you do, and for those it's gotten very challenging for those working. You can't work face-to-face with a lot of these people now.
Right. I mean, our shelter workers have been such heroes. I know you've mentioned that in the past, how they are, you know, crisis responders. They are, and they never – we didn't lose one employee. They didn't hesitate to show up. I'm not going to say they weren't nervous and scared and aren't super vigilant about how they conduct the work they provide at our shelter, at our congregate, 40-bed facility with 15 bedrooms and 9 suites. And, they're ever making sure that the social distancing is happening, that masks are being worn, that, folks aren't gathering in those areas where we would traditionally hope they would gather for more support. So laundry or preparing food or dining together, doing somebody's nails, just really connecting over something super simple. And those are things that are really discouraged, which makes it hard on everybody. It also makes it hard on our employees because they do enjoy those aspects of their work. So right now there's not a lot of rewards in the work. It's a long time. We're actually in touch about vaccination already. The sheltering organizations in our town, we're one of them. So the 4 sites, possibly 5, but through our, our continuum of care. So the Virginia Department of Health, they've reached out and we're making a list now for our shelter employees. So that's really encouraging.
I was wondering about that because, you'd want to be on that list and be getting your people vaccinated soon.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe, our employees got back to me fast. So I think it's going to be a really tremendous reception of desiring that vaccine. And that's going to make a big difference in how people are feeling about doing the work that we're doing. I mean, it's not our employees strictly. It's everybody who's staying in shelters will have that opportunity. No one wants to have to do that, but everybody wants to see an end and a relief to this pandemic and the risks to personal health. So
you think about it. Kathy Anderson is here along with Kathy Harrigan from Empower House on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You think about a year ago. I don't know that I ever even used the word pandemic in a sentence.
Right.
And, now this is going to be something we always. And see, I go back to where my grandparents were always they always talked about the Depression.
Right.
It was the Depression. This is going to be it for us.
Right. My son said, I wish I was born during the pandemic. I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah. He's like, well, because you always spend all that time with your parents anyway, and you wouldn't know it was happening.
Yeah.
So you're right. There's going to be a generation of, of kids who will not have experienced this. And you have all these adults that are very careful and conscientious and always noticing physical space now, hugging, etc. But from what they say, if it's not this, it's going to be something that we're going to have to be contending with. So all of the changes everybody's making or things put in place, equipment otherwise, is going to be an investment for our future for sure.
One of the things I learned this morning is about masks and earrings. You two taught me about masks and earrings. I had never thought about it.
Well, thank goodness somebody has finally come along and helped you understand
all
the ins and outs of mask wearing for women.
Right. I mean,
anybody with an earring or long hair.
Yeah, you brought out long hair, Kathy. We were talking about this because there was a problem with someone's earring this morning. And you talk about learning things. This is what I've learned this morning.
Learning curve.
There's more to masks than you think.
Somebody else may be experiencing something that you don't necessarily have in your own personal life.
Right. So thank you for that education. Kathy Harrigan, Kathy Anderson here from Empower Us, empowerhouseva.org. The Empty Bowl is January 31st. It's a drive-through event at the Fred Nat Stadium this year in the parking lot. And when we come back, we're going to wrap it up and talk about, all what you need to know to get involved with the Empty Bowl. It's a little different, but you're still helping Empower House. You're still going to get a bowl, and you can still have fun doing it. We'll talk about that when we return on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Empower House, our focus this morning, Kathy Anderson and Kathy Harrigan here as we talk about Empower House. EmpowerHouseVA.org is where you can get information on Empower House and information on the 22nd annual Empty Bowl. Kathy Harrigan, you were telling me that you think this is about your 17th Empty Bowl?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Do you have 17 bowls at home?
At least. You have to play kind of Towers of Hanoi.
You do?
Yeah,
yes, absolutely. I know. You look for places, and sometimes you rotate them. And this year, it's fun. I mean, like I said to you, it's tough when you go in there and they're on a table, and you have just really a couple of minutes to sort of choose as you go down the line. And sometimes, you know, I'll get something at the top front of the table, and then I'll say, well, I like that one in the middle, and I'll change it. And then you can't do all that touching and all of that this year.
You can't, right.
So this year, this is really like getting a Christmas present.
It's like getting a Christmas present. Everything will be wrapped up very prettily, and we'll be putting it in the bags, and you'll just have that opportunity to unveil it and have that big reveal when you get home.
That's what's going to make it kind of we'll make it kind of fun. And instead of going to different stations and getting the kind of soup you want, you'll get a little coupon where you
get a little coupon. You'll have a nice candy bar. Again, in memory of Ms. Buffett, who was so generous to us in the community. A couple other treats in there. I'm going to keep them as a surprise. So, again, you can unwrap this and be surprised and happy. And then we will celebrate online. We'll celebrate virtually. We'll celebrate, hopefully, in 2022. One thing I want to point out is that all ticket sales will be online. So, like, not only is there no physical location you can go and buy them, we also will not be selling at the event. You have to get your ticket in advance. So just, I didn't want anybody to be surprised and kind of to drive up to the Fred Nat Stadium that day. We won't have any ticket sales that day. Everything has to be in advance.
And so you go to empowerhouseva.org. It's right there when you first get there, so you can't miss it.
Right.
And there's an ordering, you know, to order your tickets. You click that, and then you'll be given a time to go
Correct.
Get your bowl.
Correct. You'll get an additional email that tells what time you need to show up. And this way, we're just trying to minimize your wait time, any confusion, and minimize, you know, contact. Because that's the way of the world right now.
It is. It's in just the fact that you can do this, and this is a great opportunity. And I guess there's still opportunities for sponsors too. If
there's
you want to be a sponsor,
sponsors. That's on the same website. The same click will get you to either an individual ticket purchase or a sponsor purchase, and you can do either of them. Again, our format may be different, our time may be different, our location is different. You know what? The bowls are still beautiful, and we're still providing wonderful support to Empower House and our community and our neighbors.
And boy, kudos to the Potters in the community.
Absolutely.
Because this has been tough on them.
Right.
And it would have been so easy just to say, we'll see you next year.
Right.
But they're plowing through and providing the bowls to the
right.
event.
Potters and Liberty Town, and the support Liberty Town provides to some of those Potters as well as the other independent Potters outside of Liberty Town. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I just thought, I mean, I've lost my doing of the of a time lapse of the bowls being given out. I also went and did Bowl-O-Rama for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
That's been taken away from me. So we're all suffering through this.
Well, it'll be a throwback kind of, you know, video or throwback
yes.
Thursday for your videos.
We can remember when.
Right.
No, the other thing about getting these bowls, Kathy, is whatever bowl you get as a surprise, you can always tell people that's your pandemic.
That's the bowl
you got in the pandemic.
That's right.
It's a great event, empowerhouseva.org, and you've got all the information there on the website. And that is, other years we always have talked about we can get tickets here, you can get tickets
right.
here. It's only empowerhouseva.org.
Right. And again, if people have questions, you know, there's contact information on the website for them to reach out and be able to ask their question.
I know that pulling this together hasn't been, I mean, I know you looked at a lot of different options of how you were going to do it, but this is a great option. The stadium parking lot is big, and you'll be able to maneuver
right.
people in and out.
Right. It's an easy in, easy out, so people don't have to cross traffic. So it really should be pretty simple. We had hoped to have a more of a festival feel, but it's hard to plan a festival in January. And, you know,
yeah, it is.
It's kind of undependable weather. And again, as restrictions on how many people we could have came, the numbers came down and down, we just kind of abandoned all that and said, all right, we're just going to go simple. and it's not going to have a lot of fanfare. We'll advertise for all of our sponsors. All the beautiful banners that Higashi Glazier designs will be posted and presented at the stadium, but it won't be very much. It won't be a festival beyond that.
It's January, after
right.
all.
But our hearts will be there, and we will be so happy to see all the people who buy tickets come in for their drive-through pickup.
And Kathy, the volunteers that you have, you just can't say enough about so many people over the years, and especially this year, that you're willing to go out and
yes.
package these things and to pass them out.
Yeah, our committee is great. They have really pulled together and tried to figure out, like, you know, where can we go to safely collect and do a production line for bowl packaging and to build these gifts, and how do we get everything there, and how do we get everything together for the event. So I think my committee is a fantastic committee, and the board folks who support us by making calls and talking to folks mm-hmm. and being sponsors themselves.
So if you want to be a sponsor, powerhouseva.org, it's right there. I think you first contacted me, it was over the summer. We started mm-hmm. talking about this. So I mean, I know the work that you and your committee has put in, and it's been a lot of work, but it's just another thing. It's different, but there still is some normalcy. Just to have a show to talk about.
Yeah.
The empty bowl is a great thing.
Yep, absolutely.
EmpowerHouseVA.org. Kathy Harrigan has put all of this together, she and her committee, and it is going to be a great time. And again, you will get a pandemic bowl. Kathy Anderson, has our earring situation
resolved?
You found, where was it?
Well, talking about this. Thanks.
Okay, let's not get to me. Okay. But it's been resolved.
Resolved. Successful resolution.
Good. So it's in the last hour we have solved a problem. We have talked about the empty bowl, and we have also learned about long hair and masks.
Masks and earrings.
And earrings. Interesting.
The works.
Well, thank you both for doing this. We have done one of these shows, Kathy, for years and years now. And Kathy Harrigan, you've been part of it too. So thank you both again. EmpowerHouseVA.org. January 31st, it's the 22nd annual Empty Bowl at the Fred Nat Stadium. It's at 11 to 2, and it is a drive-through. EmpowerHouseVA.org. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. We'll see you Monday morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.